In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 14a and 36 through 41, Peter, standing with the other disciples in the public square 50 days after Easter, proclaims the gospel and watches as the church is born. Listen, let us listen together for God's word. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brother, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourself from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. May God bless this reading and hearing.
So it's hard for me to believe, maybe for you as well, that this is the seventh Sunday that we've been worshiping in this format or some version of this format. And this week, I've been thinking a lot about the timeline over the past few weeks, from March 15th, when we began worshiping in this way, but certainly the reasons that we've been worshiping in this way with coronavirus affecting our lives in some significant ways. Been thinking about that timeline from March 15th up until today. And in my experience, maybe yours as well, the first couple of weeks when this all began to unfold, I think there's one word that summarizes it all very nicely. And that word is, ah! Right? It was all new, right? You know, the schools closing down was all new, and worshiping like this was all new, and having to shutter our businesses in many cases was new. Having to apply for government subsidies and unemployment on a mass national scale was new. And certainly the stock market crashing wasn't new, but it certainly was terrifying. Through all of that, I think that many of us, myself included, we were screaming ah internally and sometimes even out loud. After that first week or two, in the Jewish and Christian traditions, we started to head into the high holidays, right? With Passover and Palm and Passion Sunday coming, followed closely by Holy Week and Easter. In my experience, what I felt and what I felt in many others was a move away from the initial shock and awe to a more somber and quiet combination of mourning as we mourned what we lost, what we were having to do without, with a change of pattern that seemed like it was going to go on for quite some time. Mourning that in the face-to-face interactions, also with just fatigue and frustration and a whole bunch of stress. After that, we came to Palm Sunday, a Passion Sunday, and then headed on into Holy Week. And for some of us, there was that afforded us an opportunity to think for whole minutes about something else other than COVID-19. As we heard the story of Jesus's last week in Jerusalem, I know for me, I was encouraged and buoyed by Maundy Thursday, always one of my favorite Sunday or days in the life of the church and services. I was buoyed by Good Friday and the amazing presentation that Jessica Scriver and Hadley Bunting and our youth put together to make cross sculptures and walk us through a Good Friday virtual walk. Then, of course, we came into Easter. And I know we didn't have trumpet descants and lilies upon lilies upon lilies, and we couldn't look at one another in the eye and wish one another happy Easter. But we still worshiped. We still had wonderful music. We still heard the great good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and God's way of loving us into life forever. So for me, maybe you, some of us, many of us, not all, but many, I think Easter was a time of encouragement and a mountaintop high. But then the Monday after Easter came a couple of weeks ago, and I know I felt this, and in my conversations and Zoom calls and the tone of emails, people were just tired. People were just discouraged. We had Easter, right? Spring was here. There was new life. God loves us. Jesus is risen. But now Monday comes, and we're back in the Lenten Valley again. We're back looking at potentially months of this, and people were just tired and discouraged and slouching their way through the week. This past week, though, I started to feel a change in people. I started to feel a change in myself as well. Certainly, there's discouragement and fatigue and financial concern, lots of worries and problems. But I started to hear people talk about things I hadn't been hearing them talk about. Talking about justice and recognizing that COVID-19 has revealed injustice in our culture and how many are being adversely and asymmetrically affected by it, those who are vulnerable and marginalized. I heard people talk this last week about Earth Day and wondering how the lessons we're learning in quarantine might be translated, as Hadley was helping us to see, translated into a longer hastening of an environmental movement as we care for our environment more than we have been. I heard people talking about reopening businesses and reopening houses of worship, but not just sort of pie in the sky, abstract turns. I mean, putting pen to paper and getting specific plans about how we were going to open it, specifically what we were going to do. I heard people for the first time in a number of weeks have sustained energy, not to just lament, not to just whine, not to just give in to fear, but a sustained energy to act and to do the things that we need to do to move past COVID-19 and potentially to make the old normal better than ever before. I felt people, for the first time in a long time, having vision and grit and fire in the belly, as we said to one another, not, oh no, COVID-19, but as we began to say to one another, take that, COVID-19. We've got a long road to go, months ahead of us. I hope it's shorter than that, and I pray for it, but I'm preparing and expect us to be worshiping and social distancing like this for a long time to come. And with that in mind, I'm mindful that grit and fire in the belly are good, but in their raw form, they can be unhelpful and lead us down misguided paths. However, when we combine grit and fire in the belly with wisdom, knowledge, ethics, prayer, scripture, and a deep relationship with God, which is to say, when we combine grit and fire in the belly with spiritual tools, then that grit and fire is made far better and much, much more powerful. So, preparing for what is coming next for us, I wanted to spend the next 4 out of 5 Sundays with a sermon series titled Spiritual Toolbox, where we will mine scripture for spiritual tools that we can use in combination with our grit and fire in the belly to move us from this new normal into a better version of the old normal. Let us pray. Loving God, inspire us, kindle us, give us energy, give us encouragement, give us grit, and give us fire for the work that you call us to and what needs to be done. For we pray it in the powerful name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. So we begin mining our tradition this morning from Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, a New Testament book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, which is the story of the early fledgling church learning to carry on after Christ had left them. We look to chapter 2, verses 14a, and then 36 through 41. As Luke tells the story, Jesus has lived, he has taught, he has healed, he has been arrested and tortured and crucified and died, he has risen again from the dead, and then just before this, he has ascended. He's left his followers to be his hands and feet in the world. Now, I have to tell you that those early days, the disciples didn't do such a fantastic job of that. They were afraid and locked behind closed doors, much like we have been much of the last 7 weeks or so. But then something happened. 50 days after Passover, and in the Christian context, 50 days after Easter, came the Festival of Weeks, which we know as Pentecost, the word that means 50, 50 days after Easter and Pentecost. It was 50 days later that God's presence came to the followers in their locked room through the Holy Spirit with wind and with fire, and it ignited a fire into the bellies of the disciples. And with that fire, they unlocked their doors. They moved beyond their fears out into the crowded streets of Jerusalem. Now, let me pause here to be careful and to be clear, because social distancing is working. And I don't want you to walk away today hearing me advocating for us to leave our houses and go physically into the public square like the disciples did so long ago. Certainly they have lessons to teach us, but we need to do some of those things in modified ways. So what is it that the disciples did in this story? With fire in their bellies, they unlocked the doors. They moved forward through their fear out into the public streets. And as Luke tells us, Peter, one of the early church leaders and a close follower of Jesus, he stood up in the public square, nice and tall. And Luke takes great pains to tell us that when Peter stood there, he didn't stand alone, but he stood with the 11. He stood with the 11. He stood with the 11. Peter was not a lone wolf. He was not a lone ranger. And when he stood with his community. And when he spoke with the voice of his community. So that is the first spiritual tool to put in our spiritual toolboxes. For us to gather into a deep community, and from that community, a Charlotte Congregational Church in Charlotte and Shelburne and Hinesburg and wherever you listen, your particular community or communities, that you be deeply involved in them, strengthened and encouraged by them, and offering strength and encouragement to the point where you're able to gather round with your community and speak with one voice. A second spiritual tool beyond standing with our community is that when we stand, we are to stand and raise our voices with great hope. Standing is difficult right now, so we need to do that in modified ways. As I said, we need to be able to stand with our communities virtually, telephonically, emotionally, spiritually, theologically, and lots of other ways to stand with our community in these modified ways. And as we stand there, to raise our voices with great hope. Right? Peter, as he stood with his community, he didn't wag his finger with gloom and doom. He didn't keep silence. He didn't offer them false promises and false platitudes. But what he did was find a way to proclaim his truth of the hope that he found in and through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let's take a moment to think about what was going on for Peter. He had just been locked for fear in a room. His leader had been crucified and then left them. Rome was still very much in power, and the religious authorities, who were more in love with status quo than they were for transformation, they were ramping up their persecutions of the followers of Jesus, of Peter and the 11. So it's in that context that Peter finds his courage, that he stands and he proclaims. And the message he proclaims is not one of gloom and doom. It's one of hope. He told people about Jesus. He told people about resurrection. He told people about the love and life of God for all of us and forever. He spoke with his community in one voice of a deep, sure, and certain hope. And the result of that, according to Luke, was the crowds hearing something they hadn't heard before, and of hearing a truth that they desperately needed to hear. And the result were 3,000 that day who began to align their lives not by, but who aligned their lives with, and the love of Christ. Dear ones, as I said a little while ago, we have a long road to go. Months and months of this, potentially, in this pattern. And as we go, I want to make sure that we let the Holy Spirit into us as individuals and as a community. I pray that that Spirit will ignite us and give us grit and fire in the bellies and move us beyond shock and fear and move us outward with ministry, with power, with passion, and with hope. And with our grit and fiery bellies that we also put into our toolbox and take out again the spiritual tools, simple to say and hard to do, of gathering with our community and speaking together with one voice of hope in Christ. May it be so in Christ's name and for the life of this whole world. Amen.